It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right, good evening, and welcome to episode 190 of the Ron and Brian podcast. It is Sunday night. Brian, you look disoriented. Are you okay, my friend?
I am fine. I am excited. I am peppered. I am salted. I'm garliced. I'm onioned. I am basiled and thymed.
Oh, very, you sound delicious, if I may say so.
I would only sound a little bit better if I was bathed in a layer of avocado oil.
Mm, very nice choice of oils as well. Should we, since we're into it, should we just get the show going?
Yes.
All right. It's time for Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Tranche.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
Brian, what are you drinking this week, my friend? Oh, I can recognize the can. That's a little Six Point Brewery. One of my favorites.
Six Point Brewery. I reached out to our good friends over at Six Point. I said, guys, hook me up. I am tired of IPAs. I'm tired of all the hops, the bitterness, the aftertaste. I have got myself a Six Point of the Crisp, which is their very popular Pilsner, coming in at a 5.4 ABV, 100% sourced directly from Germany, meaning the hops, that is, but brewed right here locally in Brooklyn, New York. You are looking at a legit Pilsner that has a hop aroma, leaps from the glass, yet it blasts you with a huge floral aroma and finishes crisp, clean, and refreshing.
I'm a fan of the Crisp as well. It is a very good beer. Six Point is a fantastic brewery.
I just went from six to midnight. Ron, I'm a happy camper right now. Good. I've got myself a beer that I like. The question is, what is putting a smile on your face this evening?
Well, and we did not prepare this. We did not talk about this. We did not coordinate this. But I also am bringing a local Pilsner to the table from our good friends at Workhorse Brewing in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. This is their American Pilsner, only clocking in at a 5.2%. So a little bit generous, but it is listed as being crisp, floral, and spicy. You know I loves me a Pilsner. I actually have not tried. I've had a lot of Workhorse beers, but I have not tried their Pilsner before. So let's see how this goes down.
Well, why don't you work some of that horse down your throat, and let's see what your review is.
It's not bad. I wouldn't say it's my favorite Pilsner, but it's a very drinkable Pilsner.
It looks a little hazy by comparison to mine.
This is why I think that's why they call it an American Pilsner. I think they're doing their own little spin. Yes, yours is very clear. Mine would appear a bit less clear, but tasty nonetheless.
Which is ironic because your brain is by far more clear than mine. My brain has I got the haze.
You got the hazy up there. You got the haze up there. All right, Brian, are we ready to complain about what's bothering us?
I think so.
All right. Beef of the week time.
And Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
Where do I start, Ron? This has been a week. It has been a week of ups and downs. But what is bothering me the most as we are sitting here to record this? It is the crime wave in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Out of control. It feels like after the summer of 2020, when there were so many protests against police violence and whatnot, I will say that New York went through a 2021 of crime absolutely on the rise. And unfortunately, what I have seen in 2022 has been a litany of one after another shootings, deaths, robberies. The new thing now is violence in the subway system. And I think it's time that we put a stop to it. You and I need to stop the violence. Crime in New York, Ron, that's what's bugging me.
It's great. I mean, I saw you had the one woman that was pushed in front of the subway train earlier this week and died. There was a 61-year-old man pushed in front just the other day. The police officer shot and killed the other day. So, you are living in the Badlands, it would seem.
Absolutely. Got to keep your head up. Look both ways. Look behind you. Look in front of you. Keep an eye on your six.
I think that's what they say.
All right, Ron.
Yes.
Other than watching the senseless violence going on, you know, an hour and a half north of you, what's bugging you?
So my beef this week, Brian, I gotta go with, and this is a theme we've had previously. I'm going with the
spices. Hold on, let me guess. Spices that are lost in the mail.
A little more serious this time. But I'm going with the anti-vaxxer movement, specifically the one that decided to hold their little rally in D.C. today, bringing the likes of Robert Kennedy to the fray, who decided to say how close we are now to Nazi Germany. Hold on here.
Even in Hitler Germany, you could cross the Alps into Switzerland. You can hide in an attic like Anne Frank did.
And again, we've kind of commented before, just comparing anything to Nazis, the Holocaust, not great. But, and again, I feel like we're falling into this this mindset where you have people that don't want to get vaccinated. And I think you have people that are firmly anti-vax, like trying.
Sure.
It's one thing if you don't want to do it for yourself. I mean, I disagree with that. But again, that is your decision to make for yourself. And if you're willing to live with the repercussions of that decision, that's fine. When you have these groups of people who are now trying to convince others, who are trying to stop, you know, whether it's the vaccination mandates, the mask mandates, like, you know, we are in my industry, we are again seeing a slowdown in business due to the cases from Omicron. We are seeing, you know, we are having to lay people off again. We are seeing people that aren't getting enough hours. And then on the flip side of the coin, we've got, you know, properties where people are having to work 7 days a week because they have so many people out that are sick. You know, if anyone, and when we, you know, we all know the story of what was going on with my mom the last few months, but anyone that has to handle anything within the healthcare system right now, it is more of a shit show than usual. And again, it is due to people getting sick, and whether it's vaccinated, non-vaccinated, you know, these variants are being caused because of the mass number of people that aren't being vaccinated. And the impact is just beyond COVID. It's impacting cancer patients. It's impacting anyone with a medical condition. It's such bullshit at this point. You know, again, if you don't want to get yourself vaccinated, that's fine. But accept the fact that, you know, you may not be able to go out to a movie. You may not be able to go to a restaurant. You may, you know, be a pariah if you want to be a pariah. But it's aggravating the living shit out of me. And it's been 2 years now we're coming up on in this pandemic. And it's just, I don't know. I'm just feeling some sort of way this week, Brian. That's why
you're allowed. You're absolutely allowed. This is your platform for your beef of the week. The part about it that where I think it crosses the line is it's one thing, like you said, to make a decision for what's best for you, what's best for your family members, whatnot, and it be a local individual decision. I believe everybody has the right to do that. What bothers me about the overall anti-vaxxer movement is the grandiose platform they seem to have clung to for propaganda purposes. Like, how quick are they to jump to the, oh, this is like Hitler, not, you know, Nazi Germany? You know, not just because you're being told to do something, or you're being told you can't do something, or being told that you should do something. The quickness to compare this to the absolute worst of humanity seems to be the part where I check out on the validity of that argument.
Let me just make sure I'm understanding you correctly. You are saying that if you are blocked from getting dollar margaritas and all you can eat riblets at Applebee's, it is not on the same level of being marched into a concentration camp and being gassed to death.
Ron, $1 margaritas at Applebee's is my goddamn human right. Breathing air on this planet, God gave me the ability to do that, and I will not be thrown out from an Applebee's ever again.
All right.
But yeah, that's where I absolutely think it becomes lunacy, is just how quick anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers are to jump to the this is like Nazi Germany.
Yep. And we'll get further into that as we obviously cover our numerous COVID stories. I did sometimes these comments scroll by a little delayed past our audio. So real quick, Janelle was asking if we were both in black hoodies. No, I am technically in a green hoodie. This is one of the Ron and Brian hoodies you can get on our web store at ronandbrianpodcast.com. And Billy asking what my favorite Pilsner is. It is the Broken Goblet effing Pilsner. Hands down my favorite.
I thought your favorite Pilsner was Mary Pilsner, the girl you dated in your junior year of high school.
We don't bring that up anymore. We don't speak about Mary.
Sorry.
You should know this by now.
Listen. I know things were, I know you had a hard time coming out of that relationship. The depression, I did not mean to bring up unpleasant.
You would just not bring that up again, Brian.
Sorry.
But you did mention you have a letter from a listener. It's rare that we get correspondence. We love correspondence. We don't get it as often as we should.
Hold on a second. Ron, I do want to correct you on that. We do get a lot of correspondence. Rarely does it elevate to the level of being worthy of being read on the air. I mean, you know,
we get a lot of correspondence about single women in our area that would like to meet us.
Yes.
You know, how we can add 3 inches either in length or girth. But yeah, we're not bringing that kind of correspondence to the show.
Correct. But this week we got a letter that came in. I saw it when it came in. It piqued my interest. I looked into it. It does appear to be valid, and I don't have an answer. So I'm going to read the letter, Ron. Like everyone else, you've not seen this. So let me read. Dear Ron and Brian, I am a big fan of the show and have been faithfully watching your podcast episodes on YouTube for over 2 years now. Back in December, I suffered a major brain injury due to a work-related tractor accident and have been slowly catching up on the episodes I missed when I was in my doctor-ordered coma. I was writing because as I finished episode 187 on YouTube and excitedly advanced to episode 188, I noticed that it was not available for streaming. The next episode available to me was episode 189, which featured a guest appearance by the incredible musician Alan Robert from the band Life of Agony, who are going out on tour of the Northeast United States next week with Dog Eat Dog discussing his new NFT venture called Monster Chompers. But I digress. I checked my audio podcast app on my phone and saw that episode 188 is available there. Is there a reason that episode 188 is not available on YouTube?
And first of all, thank you for writing. Thank you for watching and listening, and thoughts and prayers for your continued recovery from your tractor injury. And yes, it is true. Episode 188, Flaming Tasers and Turnstiles, was removed from the YouTube platform, much like yourself. I was unaware of it. It actually was brought to my attention when I went on YouTube last week. My wife actually wanted to see the Alan Robert interview on YouTube, which is rare because, as we have mentioned before, she's not really a listener of the podcast. No. I die a little bit inside because of that, but that's okay. And I saw that 187 was there, and I saw that 189 was there, and I was like, where the hell is 188? And go into our YouTube studio. Sure enough, it's not there. Go into our email. And apparently it was taken down because they felt that it violated their self-harm policy. Not exactly sure why. I did, you know, apply for an appeal, which was very quickly turned down. So they will not be putting that content. So basically they clarify by saying content that promote self-harm or is intended to shock or disgust users is not allowed on YouTube. So I'm not sure if it was the video of the gentleman breaking his neck, jumping the subway turnstile, or the gentleman that was set on fire when he was tased, or a combination of both. But clearly, rather than going after the videos that pedophiles put up on YouTube, or the multiple grooming videos that are up there, I guess YouTube just decided to go for the low hanging fruit, if you will, and took down episode 188.
So what are we doing so that people can watch 188 now that we have been deplatformed off of YouTube?
We're doing what we always do. We are turning it into a cash grab, and we are putting it behind the paywall. That's right. If you now want access to episode 188, Flaming Tasers and Turnstiles, you can if you become part of our Patreon. So just go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. In the upper right-hand corner, you will see a little area where you can click on to become a patron. And you can join for as little as $5 a month. If you join at the bronze level, which is $10 a month or higher, you get access to Ron and Brian After Dark Live, which comes out right after this podcast at 9:30. And we've got a huge lineup for tonight's After Dark. Not only that, as I've been going through some old photos and things like that, we have a quick photo collage of poor hair decisions that I've made over the years. It is... let me see. Do I still have one available? If I can give, I guess, should we give a little tease as to what people can expect?
Sure. Sure.
So this is one. Let me pull this up. I'm not proud of it. I want to say this is after college. I want
to
say this.
Is there any way to zoom in on that? And I know that this is that there are people that are listening to this on as an MP3 file that they're streaming. But if you, I mean, right now, if you are listening to this episode, what I want you to do is go to YouTube right now, pull up episode 190, and fast forward to the 18 minute and 25 second mark, because you are going to see what I like to call handsome young Ron.
So this would be, I want to say this is 1996. I had gone to Cancun with a buddy of mine that I worked with. Attempted to grow in a beard while I was down there. And those of you that followed us during the beard growing part of the pandemic back in 2020 knows that, you know, it's a bit of a, it's a stretch for me to grow a beard. It takes a while. So this was kind of a look back in the mid to late 90s that I ran with.
This was also a look in the 1400 Spaniard days. I believe this was a look in the Princess Bride. I believe
I've been told this Andy is a Patinkin. Look for when you've been trying to rob people of their doubloons. I've told this is a look if I was moving weight in Cuba in the 90s. This was also apparently a good look as well. So a lot of people have had fun. And you know what? I deserve it. I think that only lasted like a couple of weeks because well, it's the worst. So
it's first off, it's the pencil thin mustache that is beautiful. Does not it, you're not even pretending to connect in any form of a goatee, but you've got this little growth coming down at your chin. You also have the I am high as heck. I've been smoking weed for 4 hours. Eyes. And you've got a shirt that appears to be buttoned somewhere below your sternum with a lot of vertical stripes. First off, first off, this is a gorgeous photo. I absolutely fucking love it. However, as you all know, I am very easily distracted. So immediately my gaze goes towards the empty plastic Tupperware over your left shoulder in the photo, as well as what is going on in that bowl that with the red balls that are, are you soaking strawberries? Like, what is going on?
This is my mother's house. I want to say that we're probably around Thanksgiving here. So on the left, I believe she was mixing up some gravy in that. Not sure what was in the other container. That could have been strawberries, could have been yams. Actually, these photos have aged a little bit. I have actually, a couple of people did say I've given off Chris Cornell vibes with this this shot.
But when again, black ears.
But again, this is what you'll have more of this type of content after dark.
Let's spend the 75 cents. Can you roll the footer again so that people know?
I also am not quite sure what is going on with my lips. They look very red and pouty. Like, I don't believe I was wearing lip gloss at this point. But there's a lot to unpack in this photo.
I love this. So people, I'm expecting our Patreon to be fun. It's going to be fun tonight.
It's going to be a good time. What all do we have to talk about this week? I mean, let's get into COVID, because we were talking about it earlier. I guess we were talking about mask mandates earlier. So I don't know if we've all seen the video from Virginia where a mom threatened a school board that was enacting a mask mandate in her child's area. And she said at an in-person board meeting, she said, my children will not come to school on Monday with a mask on. That's not happening. And I will bring every single gun loaded and ready. Well, afterwards, she was on the next day charged by the Luray Police Department with making an oral threat on school property. And was released on $5,000 bond. Now, you know, she had emailed.
No, hold on a second. If I may interrupt, if we go back to that photo with Ron, with those lips, you're making an oral threat right there in those photos. Like, there is a threat of a beach that I will never forget in that photo.
Anyway. So Amelia King, 42, was arrested on Friday. She clearly realized she had screwed up, because on Thursday night after the meeting, she emailed an apology to a school board member and said that she was, quote, only speaking figuratively.
No, she apologized. Wasn't.
And because again, you screw up and then you're like, oh, I didn't mean that. I apologize. And words and actions have consequences. So now she will have to stand go to court over this. Brian,
I to me that kind of ties into what I was saying earlier, which is just like how the how people nowadays feel like, you know, if they are inconvenienced in some way, to just jump right to a 10. Here's a woman who is told that there's going to be a mask mandate, or was it a vaccine mandate? I wasn't really paying that much attention.
It was a mask mandate.
I was still thinking about those lips. And just immediately jumps to the point of, well, I'm just going to show up here with all my loaded gun. Like, it's like, fuck, like, where is your fucking common sense? Or are you just trying to go right to threats of physical violence right off the bat? Like, it just makes no, like, what has become of this fucking society?
And the funny thing is, so the board voted 4-2 to not enact a mask mandate. So basically, you know, she got arrested for nothing, because the mask mandate, based on the layout of the makeup of the school board, wasn't going to pass anyway. So I guess she just wanted to get up and throw threats around. And hey, play stupid games, win stupid prizes, as we often say.
I was going to say fuck around and find out.
Oh, there's maybe a lot of fucking around and finding out.
Maybe if we find out, maybe we fucked around with YouTube 2 weeks ago and now we're finding out.
We clearly, we learned a lesson. Apparently they...
Did we? Hold on a second. Did we really learn a lesson?
No, we will, I'm sure, get in trouble yet again.
All right.
Brian, did you sign up for your free in-home COVID test that the government was going to send out to you?
What are you kidding me? There is no way I'm going to put my name in that database so that when the Nazis come around and they're going to round me up as people who have tested positive, I'm not getting my name in that database. No, thank you, ma'am. Yes, yes, I did. I did sign up for the free test.
Now, did you have any issues? Because apparently they were saying that people that lived in apartment buildings were having difficulty using the site because it was restricted to an address. Okay, well, good.
I know issue. I mean, right. Also keep in mind, I do have a USPS account. So it's possible that I get an email every morning of what my incoming mail is going to be and whether I get any packages. That is a service that the USPS offers, which I find very helpful. So it's possible that they recognize my address because I was already in the Postal Service's database. Also, which just reminds me of another fucking lunacy. I know this is going to be a tangent, but I do feel the need to fucking complain about it.
All right.
Do we remember a year and a half ago when Donald Trump was bashing the post office because they were losing money and he kept threatening to, and he was going to, he was going to privatize it and he kept bashing, because it wasn't making money. And it still irks me to this day. And I know it's January of 2022, but a year and a half later, it still irks me that he picked out this one government entity that he expressed a demand that they be profitable. Yet every other aspect of the federal government is literally just a service provider with funds that are generated by your tax dollars.
Yeah, no one ever asks if the defense, if the military is turning a profit.
No.
Money to spend.
Correct. If there was a government agency that could turn a profit, it would be the military. They would just invade like other lands. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. They already do that. Never mind. Never mind. Tangent went off. What else do we got?
I did request
my four. Did you?
Of course I got on there. I requested them. Because Lord knows my insurance company still has not been able to let me know how they will reimburse me for tests that I purchased after they were going to be covered on our insurance.
Correct.
In addition to the tests, the Biden administration is going to distribute hundreds of millions of N95 masks through pharmacies and community health centers. That is going to start up in the next week or so. I don't believe they've given complete instructions as to how you can get them, but they should be available by early February. And again, those will be provided to people for free. I guess the question is, Biden has been in office for a little over a year now. Why has it taken a year to make this move for free tests and free masks for people that need them?
Do you want to hear my answer?
I would love to.
I believe that he got into office with the belief that the vaccines were going to knock out coronavirus and that this was going to be the end of the pandemic. I believe that they put all their efforts into vaccinations. I believe they put all their efforts into booster shots. And then as Omicron emerged in November, raged through America in December, that's when I think that the attention became to go to masks, to go to testing and whatnot. Whereas I think he was kind of on a pat myself on the back victory lap for the first, we'll call it 9-10 months of his administration. I believe the focus was everybody should just get vaccinated and this thing comes to an end. And then Omicron came around and it was, hey, fuck around and find out. It doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not. This thing is going to rage and you're still going to get it.
All right. I think you might have something there. Also, Brian, CDC put out new data last week showing that both vaccinations and prior infections offered strong protection against the Delta variant. However,
who's still talking about Delta anymore?
Well, we're still waiting.
This is an Omicron nation.
So we're still waiting on Omicron data to come in. But when it goes back to the Delta variant, it shows that those people who had recovered from having COVID-19, their case and hospitalization rates were lower than among those who had been vaccinated. Brian, as someone who has had COVID and vaccinated and boosted, this would appear to back up your claims that you are better than everyone else.
True. I mean, the level of immunity that I have, I feel like a god walking amongst mortals every time I leave my house. The level of immunization, the antibody strength that I am bringing to the table, I am shocked right now. There is not a line of ladies outside my apartment door right there offering to just have a little bit of my blood to put into their system so that they also can be saved.
I mean, I think your giving nature is inspiring, and I think more people should follow your lead.
Well, I mean, let's be brutally honest here. I was part of the first wave of COVID. I got the real thing, the unadulterated. Fuck was that?
That's some ghost hunter shit going on right there.
Nah, my work bag just fell over. Damn, that scared the bejesus out of me. God damn it, motherfucker. Edit this part out because I don't want people to see me get scared.
No problem.
Wow. But yeah, the COVID that I got, you know, for 3 weeks that ravaged my body back in March of 2020 while I watched the refrigerated trucks parked outside of hospitals filled with bodies, while I watched the forklifts taking bodies into those refrigerated trucks, it provided me with such a level of immunization that when it came time for my vaccines, I went out and I did my research. I got the gold standard.
Hashtag Moderna.
Listen, you know, I scoff at mere mortals right now.
I get it. Listen, we are impressed. I mean, you had the original. It wasn't cut with anything. There wasn't any baking powder mixed in with it. You got the OG COVID. So
it wasn't stepped on. It right. was straight from Wuhan. China.
Also, reports are coming out that China is bringing back their anal swab testing for COVID. 2 weeks before the Winter Olympics is scheduled to begin. Brian, the question to you is, have you bought your ticket to China to experience this?
No, but I did order my 4 tests from the Chinese government. I'm eagerly awaiting their arrival in the mail. It could be at any moment.
So China claims that this virus test, which involves inserting a 5-centimeter long saline-soaked swab up a patient's anus and rotating it.
Do we have a photo? Do we have a photo that we could put up?
I don't have a photo that, again, I don't want to get deplatformed from YouTube, so I don't want to put these up. But there is some explicit instructions on how to do this.
Because I'm looking at a photo right now, and I believe we should put this online.
we will share.
It's from the New York Post has it. If the Post has it, we should be okay with it, right?
I don't know. It's hard to say. So the swab is then removed and analyzed in a lab. So apparently, according to China, the COVID traces stay detectable longer in fecal samples than they do in the nose or the throat.
Now, I have read, and I don't get me wrong. Personally, I feel like there is a doctor in China who's directing this, who had trouble emerging from the diaper phase of his childhood. But I have heard that it has become a universally acknowledged mode of testing that wastewater is a place where they are testing to understand the spread of COVID. I saw an article earlier this week. It was on the news, so it wasn't, I didn't read it. I saw a news story this week that Omicron has been identified in New York City in early November of 2021, prior to it being identified in South Africa after they went through wastewater samples. So Omicron was already right in New York before it had been identified as a variant. So there is some truth to the idea that there is a way to identify COVID through the how do I say this? Through the exit?
The human waste.
Yes.
Well, and that goes back to in 2020, there was a report of a apartment building in China where the entire building got infected, and they traced it back to an individual that was in the apartment but quarantining. And the only connection that they could make was because everybody was utilizing, obviously, the same toilet system in the house, that, yes, it would transfer through the wastewater and was transmissible as well.
Right. I also think there's a doctor in China that just wants to watch guys put Q-tips up their assholes. And also women, not just men. Yeah. But also keep in mind, China is revving up for the 2022 Winter Olympics, which is coming up. Didn't they just have the Olympics?
Well, they had, we have the Summer Olympics, right?
But wasn't it also in China?
It was Japan, I believe. Tokyo, right?
But didn't China just have it? I feel like China just had an Olympics, and I really am trying to dig myself out of the hole I believe I just dug myself in, that the Asians are interchangeable, because that is absolutely not what I want, what I'm trying to get at.
Well, February 3rd, Winter Olympics start. I didn't realize Shaun White is still
Excuse me.
Olympics.
Hold on. No, China had the 2020 Summer Games.
Did they? It wasn't.
I was correct. They have the 2020 Summer Games.
All right. Well, you are correct. You dodged a bullet there. No cancel culture for Brian. Brian, should we talk about another first that we have this week?
What?
And that's another first in dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
So we have had some firsts for dead anti-vaxxer of the week previously. We've had, we've had three dead anti-vaxxer of the weeks. We have three dead anti-vaxxers of the week again. But this is a first. This is our all musician dead anti-vaxxer of the week. Brian, I believe you have our very first dead anti-vaxxer of the week. Would you like to speak about her?
Yeah, if you give me a moment, I'm a little busy.
Sorry.
But sure. It's okay. Do you have a photo of my dear personal friend, Hannah Horka?
Hannah Horka.
Ironically, not. A lot of people thought that Hannah Horka was part of a World War II spy novel written by John Le Carré. A lot of people thought that Hannah Horka was related to the man from Nantucket, that she was part of a limerick, but she is not. Hannah Horka, beloved. And when I say beloved, she was a beloved veteran folk singer. Passed away this past Sunday of COVID-19 after intentionally exposing herself to the virus in a ill-advised self-immunization attempt.
She's no Aaron Rodgers is what I'm getting at.
The Czech musician, her passing was confirmed by her son, Jarak, who told the Prague Morning that she preferred to catch the disease than get vaccinated. Her fatal goal was to regain access to her favorite sources of entertainment, performing live, hoping that having shown proof that she had the antibodies as a way to get around having to show that she had been vaccinated in the Czech Republic, which was unfortunately a bad decision on her part. She saw an opportunity when her son and her husband caught the virus over Christmas, despite them being vaccinated. Instead of self-isolating from them, she deliberately spent time in close proximity to them over a period of a week, eventually testing positive. She revealed her COVID-catching scheme on social media, claiming that she was recovering well from the disease. Unfortunately, a couple days later, she passed away due to complications, with her son reporting that she choked to death in her home. Unfortunately, Hanna Horka becomes another statistic as the Czech Republic recently reached a new daily high of 28,000 reported cases amongst a population of 10.7 million people. Hanna Horka, we will miss you.
No, that is a shame. Our second musician, this coming in, the news coming in just shortly before we went live here tonight, a gentleman by the name of Big Merv Shields. He was the bass player for notorious Nazi band Screwdriver, instrumental in the notorious Blood and Honor neo-Nazi music network.
Now, I find it ironic that you didn't assign me this one, because I actually do know this band and have listened to their music. I don't understand a lot of the lyrics, because a lot of them are sung not in English, but I absolutely have listened to this band.
He was unvaccinated and called COVID a quote lefty Jewish plot. And if that's the case, it was successful in his instance, and that he passed away on New Year's Day with what was reported as COVID complications. He played at many white power concerts. The music was loud. It was racist. It promoted a whites-only agenda, as well as being staunchly loyalist. One of their biggest hits was called Smash the IRA. Father of two was mourned at a service at a funeral home where only immediate family were asked to attend due to COVID restrictions.
All right, fuck him.
Now, I would also, I got this information from this website called Sunday World, and I props to the journalist that wrote this paragraph, but it was a silent ending for Big Merv as the guitarist and drummer was left to play one last solo at Roselawn Crematorium.
Mm.
Ouch.
That's fucked. That is a copy editor with an axe to grind.
But clearly, the saddest dead anti-vaxxer of the week came when we found out that Meatloaf had passed away at the age of 74 from COVID complications. He was a staunch anti-vaccine mandate, anti-mask mandate. He shared those songs by was Eric Clapton and somebody else.
What song by Eric Clapton?
You know.
But this time's gotta stop.
This was a bummer for me. I was a huge fan of Meatloaf growing up. Bad Out of Hell was one of my favorite albums as a kid. Still one of the best selling albums of all time. I think it's number 5 or number 6 all time, selling about 45 million copies. Saw him in concert a couple of times. But unfortunately, he did not get vaccinated, got himself some COVID, and now he has passed away.
Yeah. Which is I recently watched the last Cameo that he did. Of course, Meatloaf was on Cameo. I mean,
of course.
And he called it a Chinese virus, said blame China for it. If you go back to our childhood, you go back to the years we were growing up, his songs were the soundtrack. It was what we listened to growing up. Like we said earlier on in this episode, it's a personal decision whether people want to get vaccinated or not. People can, people don't, I'm not in favor. mandating or forcing people to do something. But I also feel like there are consequences to your actions. And here's an example where, unfortunately, this man paid the highest consequence of his actions.
Yep.
Can I guarantee? Hold on. Let me reel myself back a little bit. Can sure. I guarantee that he wouldn't have died had he gotten vaccinated? No, I can't guarantee that. But do I believe statistically that his death would have been less likely had he been vaccinated? Yeah, I do believe that. It rings as an unnecessary loss to his family. I know that he had children. He was married. I'm not sure whether he had grandchildren or not. It's another statistic in a growing list of people who have passed away to a disease that seems to have the availability of a of something that can lessen the likelihood of these severe illnesses.
Yeah. And not only a legend on the music side, but in some great movies. Obviously, he was in Rocky Horror
Fight Club
Show. He was in Fight Club. An amazing cameo he did in the Tenacious D in the Pick of Destiny movie. I mean, just
never saw that movie.
No, it was good. It was funny.
Never saw it.
I would recommend it. So Meatloaf wraps up our all musician version of Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Just really poor. I mean, no offense, but this is just in poor taste. Janelle ha-haing at the loss of Meatloaf. I mean, that's just, you know, it's one thing to sit there and to, to state your opinion, but to laugh at other people's death. I mean, it's
that's not why we do the bit. Not
be better. Be better, Janelle. Be better than that.
Brian, I came across this story this week and I wanted to get your take on it. It's a Georgia sheriff who was determined by a court to have violated the constitutional right of sex offenders. Sheriff Gary Long. He is in an area of Georgia called Butts County, which is ironic nonetheless. And he apparently placed signs in these sex offender lawns warning trick-or-treaters to stay away from these houses on Halloween. So this is back in 2018. He put these large signs in the front yards of all 57 registered sex offenders in the county, telling youngsters to stop and to not trick-or-treat at this address. Three of these registered sex offenders later filed a federal lawsuit claiming the signs violated their First Amendment rights, and a court of appeals recently ruled in their favor.
Yeah, I agree with them. The law states that sexual offenders have to register with their local law enforcement agency. It does not require them, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe the local municipality requires it or state. But I'm unaware that there's any type of requirement in a sex offender registry that you puts any type of posting outside of your home that you are a sex offender. I believe that his intentions were of the best, in the sense of for public safety. Unfortunately, these people had, paid their price and were now free to live in society. Absolutely. To me, this is a case where I absolutely believe with the I stand with the sex offenders on this one, Ron.
That will be our sound clip moving forward. Just the I stand with the sex.
That's going on TikTok. That is our soundbite for TikTok. I stand with the sex offenders on this one.
So we will be getting our TikTok channel up and running.
Yes.
Not quite sure what kind of content. I don't know about you, Brian, but I have become, and again, I understand TikTok is just a way for China to spy on us, but I am hooked on TikTok.
I feel you're very late to the game.
So late to the game.
Ron, TikTok got me through the first wave of lockdown. Like, when I was in bed with literally the highest level of anxiety I've ever experienced in my life, suffering through the first, death throes of COVID, TikTok was a way for me to take away, to distract me. The fact that 2 years later, you are just discovering the genius of watching teenage girls wearing skimpy clothes and dancing for you. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say that out loud.
Well, you know what it is, I downloaded.
Just kidding.
I downloaded the app a couple of years ago. And then, sure. I didn't use it all that much. And then everybody was like, oh, this is a way for China to hack your information. So I just kind of deleted it. And I forget why I went back to it. I think some people had sent me some TikTok videos. And then you just start getting into it. And it's like, it's mesmerizing. Like, I literally watched somebody, like for 5 minutes the other day, I watched somebody scratch off lottery tickets.
Yes. Yes. I love that. I also, for some reason, I'm also on where there's somebody who is opening packs of Pokemon cards.
Oh, yes. And baseball cards and football cards.
I only get the Pokemon cards. For some reason, I don't get anything else. I only get somebody opening up Pokemon cards. And I don't understand why they get excited. But they're like, sit there, and he's reading them all. Now, first off, the dude knows the different Pokemon cards because he knows, he pronounces them perfectly. Like, right. You and I think it would be interesting to do a pronunciation guide on Pokemon characters because we would butcher the shit out of them. But this dude is like, oh, a Charizard. Oh, and like every now and then, like he puts it in the plastic wrapper and a hard case. He gets excited. Oh, that's all over my For You page. I don't know why. Probably because I keep watching it when it comes up. But what I find very interesting is that I believe that TikTok has the best algorithm in social media.
Yes, without a doubt.
It has the ability to put things in front of you that you did not know you were interested in and to such a high level of accuracy. The ability for TikTok to know that I wanted to see videos of deformed human beings, which I automatically forward to Ron because I feel like Ron's algorithm has to also get access to this. But the number of just like, I'll just scroll through. I feel like you seem to be on more political TikTok than I am. I try to stay on food TikTok as much as possible. Like a good, I love watching videos of people grill steaks or barbecue meats or smoked meats and whatnot. But I swear to God, if it comes out with a little video of somebody whose arms are looking like this, God damn it, I am on it. And next thing I know, for the next like 2-3 days, all I'm looking at are little people walking around with their arms sticking out.
I'm getting comedy. I'm getting cats, and I'm getting food as well. Like those are three I get. But I watched TikTok live for 10 minutes of somebody at a Dave and Buster's with one of those coin machines where the thing goes back and forth and you drop the coins in and they're trying to knock this tower over.
There's a tower of coins. Yes.
And they're like, we're gonna knock this over any minute now. And like it moves like a millimeter and you're like, oh, and then it starts to tilt and it's like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. And then you give up and you move on because you're just like, there's something else to see on there. God damn it.
But you look at it and you're like, and these people have like millions of followers. Like the people with the people doing the Dave and Buster's coin machine were like, hey, we're just 300,000 away from 7 million followers. I hope we get there. And then like 5 minutes later, like, all right, we're at 7 million followers. I'm like, how can you not easily get followers on this thing?
There is something so incredibly distracting about that type of content,
right?
Where it is a nonstop loop of inconsequence,
right? And it can be very short pieces of it. Like you can do a 15-second video, so you can just sit there and like in an hour you could literally watch 100 videos.
Correct. Absolutely.
So if you are on TikTok, make sure you follow the Ron and Brian podcast, and eventually we'll put something up there.
Well, I think what we're going to start doing is putting up clips from the episodes, as well as we will be stitching our commentary to other people's clips, because I think that's how we grow the brand.
Do we do duets as well? Because that's the thing also.
What's a duet?
A duet is where you, it seems to be, it's different from a stitch. A duet is where you get like the side by side. So like,
yeah, absolutely.
You duet somebody's video and then you're side by side with them.
I'm going to start over the next couple of weeks. I'll be practicing my dances so I can start doing the.
You know what else I get a lot of videos on is the ice breaking ones. Like somebody pulls like they'll have a water barrel outside their house and they'll pull like a piece of ice out that's perfectly the shape of the water barrel. And it's all about, it's for my male audience. And it's a guy thing. And then they
break
it. And it's like, I don't know, what is so fascinating to the male race about perfectly formed ice?
Oh, no, it's not the perfectly formed ice. It's the breaking of it. It is the natural beauty. It's, to me, it's the destruction of something that is solid. But because it's ice, there's no consequence.
True.
Like men inherently, we would watch a video of a building being taken down. We would watch a car crash and whatnot. The idea of the ice is the fact that there's no harm in it. There's nobody who's getting hurt, as well as there is just a natural perfection of clear ice.
I will say one of my favorite ones is, you know, it's a duet and the guy pulls the ice, the barrel shaped ice out, and there's no sound in that video, but some guy is watching it. And once the ice comes out of the barrel, he's like, break it, throw it on the ground, throw it on the ground.
Yeah, no. I think it's great that you have finally embraced TikTok.
It was the last social media platform, and it finally wore me down.
I heard a very interesting thing on the, I forgot what I was listening to, where a celebrity was on a TV show, a British TV show, and what they wanted them to do was to show their For You page. And the celebrity refused to do it.
Now this is a new one to me. You got to tell me what the For You page is.
Well, no. That the For You page is your stream of content that they're providing to you.
Oh, so they wanted to see their algorithm.
Yes. The celebrity refused. And the theory was the fact of what is a celebrity hiding. So what I would like to do, if we can figure out a way to do it on our Patreon one day, is to share our For You pages.
Okay.
Because just to see the difference between what you are being provided and what I am.
Now, the For You would differ from your algorithm because your For You is your followers. Or wait,
no,
I get that backwards.
No, so I think followers it's the opposite. Are different
than your, it's the opposite. The I got
For
you.
You page is what they believe you should be looking at. So, So it's if we can figure out how to show that, that would be fun.
All right. Moving on, we've got a Louisiana community advocate running for U.S. Senate. He released a campaign ad this past week showing him smoking a joint while pushing for marijuana reform. A gentleman by the name of Gary Chambers. We've got a photo of him here from the ad. So basically, it's called the video is titled 37 Seconds. And he talks about how every 37 seconds, someone is arrested for possession of marijuana. Since 2010, state and local police have arrested an estimated 7.3 Americans for violating marijuana laws, over half of all drug arrests. And then he continues on to say that Black people are four times more likely to get arrested for marijuana laws than white people.
Do you think Matt Beaker can reach out to him and see if he's willing to come on the show?
I'll jot a little note down.
Can you jot that down? Because I think that he may be willing to come on the show. I feel like he's at that level where he could perceive that there is a Ron and Brian bump. As you can see, I think, you know, looking at me, looking at you, I could see this man being like, yeah, these are the people that will promote me.
This is who I want to align myself with.
They're going to promote me into the stratosphere.
What could we all smoke weed with him if he comes on the podcast?
Would you?
If he came on the podcast, I would.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm down for it.
It would depend on the weed, because we clearly know people who have access to weed that is way too strong for us.
What do you mean by clearly? I don't know what you're talking about.
You may not remember, but I don't want to mention any names, but there are people that smoke strong weed that we are, sure, we are familiar with.
Maybe. Maybe. Not sure what you're talking about.
Let's see.
What let's see if we can get him on, because I believe he is worthy of the Ron and Brian podcast bump. Not the cocaine bump or the key bump, but the bump in popularity that will enter him into major level politics.
All right. Also in the news this week, Joss Whedon, doing an interview for New York's Vulture magazine, trying to address issues of him being an overall horrible person and not doing quite so well. He made comments about Gal Gadot, saying, you know, English isn't her first language, so clearly she didn't understand me. Talking about Ray Fisher, who was Cyborg in the Justice League, saying that he was a bad actor, both in person and in acting. Just really, he had kind of had radio silence for the last year after all these allegations were thrown against him. And I guess he thought maybe doing this interview would help, and it seems to have done the exact opposite.
Can we go back to talking to Gal Gadot?
I know
I like. You're I preferred this. I preferred this story when we were talking about Gal Gadot.
You're a fan of Gal Gadot, and I get it. She's an attractive woman.
Oh, I think she's gorgeous.
Fair enough.
The problem is that her accent is absolutely atrocious, and as soon as she starts speaking, my penis actually shrivels up to the point where it's inverted, despite how glorious she is on the eyes.
I don't have a response to that. Brian, your thoughts on Joss Whedon. And it's annoying because his real name is Josh, but he wants to go by Joss, J-O-S.
Well, that's clearly Hollywood pretension.
Right.
My thoughts on this are this. Here we have a powerful Hollywood celebrity whose PR department person, whatnot, is not strong enough to convince this person to shut the fuck up and avoid all interviews. Because right. You would think that after being battered by a litany of actors and actresses who have worked with him, that Joss Whedon would have the circle around him, manager, agent, PR, like whatnot, to sit there and say, we're going to give you an interview that's a fluff piece. We're going to give you Access Hollywood, where they're going to and just don't say anything stupid.
Right.
And yet the first time that Joss Whedon comes out to talk about these allegations, literally shoves the foot so far up his ass that Gal Gadot starts speaking clear English. And then my penis exits the pubic area and becomes fully erect.
Whedon is apparently currently seeking treatment for sex and love addiction, along with other
What is love addiction? Because that's the first I have heard of that nonsense. What is love addiction?
I'm not exactly sure. I don't know if you're addicted to like people have to love you. Let's see if we can Google this real quick and see what
exploring love addiction creates fixations and compulsions in love interests and can play itself out in unhealthy behaviors towards loved ones. So is he then saying that he loves Gal Gadot? Because I certainly do. It can cause people to please putting the needs of others before their own. Clearly Joss Whedon didn't do that.
No.
The emotional highs, this intense passion, whatever. God, this sounds fake to me, and I don't want to be an insensitive prick, but Love Addiction sounds fucking fake to me. It sounds like a Hollywood nonsense of how do I get out of being an asshole?
It could be a real thing that he is just utilizing, you know, for his own, you know, benefit.
No, not Love Addiction. I'm sorry. That just sounds like some bullshit to me. And clearly, listen, you know, we've got different upbringings, backgrounds. You know, people have experienced different relationships. You know, we've all had our struggles, you know, in terms of intimacy. We've had our ups, we've had our downs. You know, he has walked a path which is, you know, individual to himself, you know, as compared to the paths that you have walked and say I have walked and say,
hell, well, you know, Esquire.
I was waiting for you to come in with the Eric.
This time's gotta stop.
I was gonna, it was one of those times where I was gonna see how much longer I could let you go.
Oh, god damn it, I could go another couple of, like, I think I had a solid 45 seconds left in me.
All right, well, we are gonna wrap things up here. I think quick NFL check right now. Kansas City is up 26-21. Buffalo with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Again, if you are subscribers at the titanium level or higher, you received our NFL locks of the week. So you have already hit on all three previous games, all very exciting, all won with walk-off field goals. Everyone was like, you want me to put money on the Rams against Tom Brady at home? That was the one that people really pushed back on us on. And clearly, we knew what we were talking about.
The sure.
Week continues. And for those of you in the know, you know how this Kansas City and Buffalo game shake out over these last.
And not only that, but people sat there and said yesterday to our picks, we were like, listen, Cincinnati is absolutely going to walk away with the game over Tennessee. Tennessee has no business with a 2 week delay between games. Also, whatever the 49ers versus the Packers, we sat there and said Aaron Rodgers may be naturally immunized against COVID, but he has nothing up against the 49ers. We went 2-0 yesterday. We were 1-0 so far Sunday as we're recording this. Our locks of the week continue to be unstoppable. Join the Patreon, people. There's three football games left this season. If you want to make some money, join the Patreon. I personally guarantee it.
Now, did you see the Twitter commentary that was rolling after the Packers lost to the Niners yesterday?
It seemed as if Twitter was enjoying the fact that Aaron Rodgers lost.
They so the two nicknames, I mean, the main nickname was Q Aaron Rodgers, hashtag Q Aaron Rodgers. Someone also coined the phrase throw Rogan, which I thought was kind of clever.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Some people said, you know, he should have done a lot more independent research on the 49ers defense.
Right.
And a lot of things about, you know, just not being able to take a shot, you know, how he clearly did not infect his receivers downfield. Like it was a lot of very clever burns, a lot of very clever COVID related burns that they gave to him.
And well deserved.
Yes. All right. Well, I think we've done some good work here.
Yes.
Ooh, I didn't realize this. We've got background music that they added to our little StreamYard here. Hold on. Let's see what happens.
What do you mean? Hold on.
This is Feeding the Ducks.
I would have sex to this music because this is my stroke. This is my flow right there.
A little daydreaming.
This is post-coitus.
Hold on. This is acoustic cinematic.
I don't like it.
Night driving. This, I gotta see it. All very mellow. All right, this is our one rock track. Let's see how this goes.
I don't like it.
Lofi. L-O-F-I.
Oh, can I ask you before you come out, what are you watching?
So what am I watching? Keep still watching Peacemaker on still watching Peacemaker on HBO Max, enjoying it. Just finished episode 4. That was pretty good. Started watching on HBO Max Raised by Wolves, which the second season is starting to come out. The first season was last year. It's a Ridley Scott TV show. It is based off of it's based in the future. There was a religious war on our planet, which basically destroyed the planet. And it is a story about how these androids were sent out into space with human embryos to try and continue the human race. So very interesting. And then also on Netflix, just watched a 3-episode docuseries on the Puppet Master, which is about a con man in the UK.
I saw an ad for that.
Very good. I will say this, one of the few docuseries that I have watched that I actually wish that there were more episodes. Like, I feel like they could have gone a little bit deeper into it, but just fascinating how he was able to really just get in and control and ruin people's lives for like extended periods of time. Like, currently he is living with a woman who her kids have not seen her in 10 years.
Not in prison.
He's not in prison. He was in prison. I won't spoil it. He was in prison. He got out.
No, I think you actually have spoiled it.
I have spoiled it. But it kind of jumps, you know, into the 90s.
Spoiler alert.
The 90s, the 2000s, and the 2010s. And it really shows you how he has played this con out in the last 3 decades. I would recommend. Good. Are you watching anything right now?
I am up to, I am almost done with season 5 of The Sopranos.
Okay, I forgot you're rewatching The Sopranos.
I went back in and I feel like there's a lot, like there's a lot that I need to watch. I've got to catch up on Boba Fett, which is on Disney Plus. I want to finish the new Dexter season. I heard that it was a good ending. And there's a bunch of stuff with Jeremy Renner that I feel like I've missed out on. You know me, I'm a big fan of the Renner. Love his music. Love Renner.
And there is a ton of new content coming out on this Friday. I have to
put this there's together. A new Ozark season. What am I new talking Ozark about? I need drop. To watch Ozark. Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot. There seemed to have been a little lull at the beginning of the year. Now there definitely seems to be a ton of content coming out at the end of the month.
Just like my penis. There was a lull at the beginning of the year, but now there's a lot coming out.
Well, that is more information than I needed. But hey, why don't we go ahead and get ready for After Dark, which again, if you are a Patreon subscriber, you will be joining us in just 17 short minutes. You will get to see me with poor hairstyle choices. We saw the bad facial hair choices.
Cannot wait for it. but yeah, people. You know, this podcast does cost money. Ron and I on throughout the year incur costs that are related to it. The show is not free. One of the things that we said when we first decided to do the podcast was that we will always make sure that our podcast is free to everyone. A lot of content creators, what they do is they put their stuff behind the paywall for people who are contributing, and then they put it out for everyone. No. We do this live every Sunday night for anybody who has an internet connection can watch live as we are doing this. The only thing that we do is we do an extra content behind the paywall. This is how we help defray some of the costs. I'm not sure if defray is an actual word. It sounded awkward. Yeah. I nailed it. Okay.
Well.
But one of the ways that covers the costs that Ron and I put out on a regular basis is we do have a Patreon. We do extra content behind it. As we learned recently with episode 188 of the podcast, is that there is things that we cannot put on YouTube. There are things we cannot put on Facebook. So those are the things that go behind the paywall. Things having to do with people who break their necks jumping turnstiles, things that have to do with people who cover themselves with hand sanitizer and then get tased and burned to death. by their local police department. I mean, these are the things that, you know, we try to put out there for the masses, but YouTube can't handle it. They go behind the paywall. So if that's the type of content that you are looking for, or if you just want to help us continue to put this show out for you week in, week out, this is episode 190. We are committed to continuing to do this for those that are committed to listening. It's a way for you to say thank you. Keep doing this is to join our Patreon, patreon.com, Ron and Brian Podcast. You can go to our website, click the link. Otherwise, thank you for joining us every Sunday. You could do anything. There are tons of options out there. The fact that you choose to spend the past hour with us means so much to me. I genuinely don't have words to describe it. Right now I have to pee. So I'm going to say, Ron, can you take us out? I love all of you.
All right. Love you all as well. And we will catch you all next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian Podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again.